Alright, good morning everyone. Welcome to our Youth Sunday. You know, today is where we showcase all our youth. You know, some of you might not see them in church because a lot of them actually attend our Saturday at 5. So today we just want to showcase all of them to you guys. They actually exist in this church. They are alive. So, yeah. So I believe when you came out from the lift, you know, you saw so many greeters, so many youth in front to greet you, to welcome you. I don't know, how do you feel? Do you feel special? Do you feel happy, proud? Young. Young. Wow, that's good. That's good. All right. So talk about youth. You know, I was being reached out when I was still a student. And I believe a lot of you here, you are being reached out as well when you are a student. So that's why we want to talk about the Youth Sunday. You know, in our Every Nation Worldwide, we call our youth ministry Every Nation Campus, okay, or ENC. So what is Every Nation Campus? Every Nation Campus is a church-based campus ministry of Every Nation that engages the lost on campus, establishes them in the church where they can be equipped and empowered to go back and reach the campus. All right? So today I'm going to talk about the topic, why campus? Why do we need to reach out to the next generation? Why do we need to reach out to young people? And I'm going to tell you about these four main reasons why we do campus ministry. Okay, why campus? The first one, because the future leaders of the society are all on the campus. You know, can you visualize all the world presidents, prime ministers, teachers, bankers, parliaments, doctors, or celebrities, business leaders, movie producers? All of them went through education system. All of them went through high school, college, universities. Okay? So same thing. For the next president, the next prime minister, the next CEO of a company, they are all where? Campus. Correct. Okay. Here I have a few examples. See whether you recognize them. First, we have, of course, our beloved prime minister, Tun Mahathir. And second, we have Donald Trump. Whether you like him or not, he's still here. He's still famous. The third, we have our Jackie Chan, actor/singer. And the fourth, we have, of course, our favorite Captain America, Chris Evans. And what do they have in common? They all study, yes. They all went through campus. Okay, same thing in our Every Nation Church Malaysia, we have these four people as well. Okay, first, of course, our lovely pastor, Pastor Jonathan, his wife, Mei Yok, our senior pastor of Every Nation Church Malaysia, Pastor Timothy, and his wife, Teresa. And they all study in USM, correct, yes. Okay. So can you look at all these 8 examples? They were once a student, right? And in every aspect of the nation's culture, the campus is where we will find the future influencer. So imagine if I say we reach out to these young people, to the next generation, and all of them accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they live a changed life, what will happen as they become a future leader? Next, why campus? Because the values on campus becomes the value in society. You know, the values that the students carry on campus right now will become the values in society after they graduate. If they have godly values, the values of the society in future will be godly as well. And however, if they have bad values, the value of society in the future will be bad. And I have two examples here. One is Adolf Hitler. Okay, all of us know who he is. He is one of the many reasons caused the World War II. Okay, because of his ideology or the bad values he carried, caused many lives around the world. You know, there's an estimate of total of 70 to 85 million people lost during the war, which is around 3% of the world population during that time, just because of the bad value he carried. The other person, Winston Churchill, he is famous because he led the Britain by encouraging them, by inspiring the whole country to win during the World War II. You know, his refusal to surrender to Nazi Germany, even when things were going badly, inspired the whole country. You know, he has a famous quotation that he said, "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." You know, because of his good values, being to persevere, to never give up, many lives were saved. That is just an example of the bad values and also the good values. But what if they had godly values? Do you think the history of the world will change? And imagine the students right now on campus, the people that we are reaching out to, if all of them have these godly values, the society in future after they graduate will be changed as well. It will be godly values. Right? The third reason, why campus? Because international students impact their nations. Our Every Nation Church Penang, do you know the history of our church? Our church started or exists because of a bunch of medical students who studied in Dublin, Ireland, and also got saved and attended Every Nation Church over there. And after they graduated, when they came back, they were searching, they were looking for Every Nation Church in Penang. But sadly, during that time, the nearest Every Nation Church is in Kuala Lumpur. Okay, so they pray. They even wrote to Pastor Timothy, our senior pastor over there. And Pastor Timothy rallied Pastor Jojo Hansen and also Pastor Jonathan. And that's how our church is being birthed. So imagine a bunch of students just came back. They are the reason why our church exists. So in our Every Nation campus right now, we have a lot of different students from across the Philippines, from China, from Nigeria, and even more nations that we are trying to reach out to. Imagine all of them being reached out, accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, live a changed life, carry the seed of gospel with them, and when they graduate, where would they go? Back to the nation. And they will be the one, the so-called missionaries. They will be the one who share the gospel, who share the godly value to their families and friends, to the people that they are going to work with, to the people that they hang out with. And that's how we can broaden the gospel's reach to different parts of the world. Right? So, why campus? The last reason that I want to give today. Because when we reach a student, we reach a family. Okay? So when we reach a student and they accepted Christ and live a changed life, guess who are the person or who are the people who notice that? Families, correct. That means parents, siblings. Why? Because they are the one who know them before they accepted Christ. They are the one who live with them each and every day. They can notice that. The New Testament pattern of the church grow shown entire family turning to Christ. In New Testament, it's not just one person got saved. But when that family member got saved, the whole entire household got saved as well. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 34, it's the story of the Philippians jailer. I have no time to go through all the verses, but I want to give you guys a bit summary. So basically, Paul and Silas were caught and put in jail. And there's a earthquake. God saved them out of the jail. And the jailer actually got panicked because his job as a jailer is to make sure that the prison is in the jail. But now they are out of the jail. So he don't know what to do. So in verse 30, he says that he then brought them out and asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" They, Paul and Silas, replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Not just you alone, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. You know, I want to share my story. Before I was a Christian, my relationship with my parents were terrible. You know, we will have no contact, we will have no phone call, no FaceTime, no face-to-face meetup because we were in different parts of the world during that time. And it lasted for 2 years. Okay? 2 years, no contact whatsoever. And the issue was, I felt it was okay. I thought there's nothing wrong with it. And when I accepted Christ, God actually bring out this issue. God told me that, why do I not value my family? And guess what? My parents, they are the one who noticed it. Because this time, I actually made effort. I intentionally called them. I intentionally meet up with them. I intentionally have relationship with them. And when I told them I was working in church, they were freaked out. Because they didn't sign up for that. Okay? They sent me to study as an engineer. They thought that I will be engineer for the rest of my life. And suddenly this change of plan happened. And because in their mind, they thought that, you know, when you're working in church, that means you have no future. You have no money. Okay? So that was in the back of their mind. But because of the change they can see in my life, they slowly accepted it. Especially my mom. Right now, she even encouraged me in a sense that she will ask me, "Oh, since you're working in church, so When will you become a pastor? You know, that kind of thing. So, it is something that I never imagined in my life. Okay? So, the amazing thing was, last December, I invited her to Gensing Christmas party. And my mom, I brought my mom along. And she, after hearing the gospel, she accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. So what I'm trying to say is, when we reach a student, we will reach a family. One family member at a time. So, as I end for my part, why campus? Because we want to reach the young generation. Because the future leader of the society are on campus. The values on campus become the values in society. International students impact their nations. When we reach a student, we will reach a family. You know, when we reach the next generation, we will eventually reach the family, we will reach the society, the nation, and also the world. So you might think that you are not young anymore, it's nothing to do with you, but what about your children? What about your grandchildren? What kind of society do you want them to live in? Do you want them to live in the bad value society? Or do you want them to live in the godly values society? I'll leave this question to you. But what I want to encourage you guys is, as we change the campus, we will change the world. All right? Now I'm going to pass this time to Jonathan.
All right. Everybody say thank you, Pastor Darren. All right. Why don't you tell your neighbor, you know, change the campus, change the world. Look them in the eye, you know, and ask them, are you ready to change the world? All right, Hoiki, yeah. You know, Darren touched on a very important point, you know, that is values, you know. As we have a value, you know, when the value is in the campus, you know, this value will flow eventually into the society. You know, that's why today, you know, what I want to expound on is on the word value. You know, but before we go that, short introduction, you know, my name is Jonathan Chong. And if you don't know me, you know, I'm currently actually leading the Youth Zone. So for the Youth Zone, we have both the campus ministry and the teens ministry. Okay, so if your children or anybody you know are between or still studying from 12 years old all the way up to as long as you are studying, you are welcome to the Youth Zone. Okay, so a little bit of update from our Youth Zone. You know, this was captured last year during the Christmas, our Christmas at Heart event. Our very own man in yellow, Pushley, you heard from him this morning. If you don't know why Pushley, you miss out a lot. So stay back for our Christmas this year. Okay, and then, you know, early in the year, we had Pastor Victor with us, sharing a little bit on identity, you know, teaching our youths on who they are, you know, what is their character, their personality, you know, preparing them for the world, you know, preparing them to know that, you know, what is their identity, you know, as they grow up, are they men of God, are they men or women that have different ideas, you know. So we did that. And then just last month, until I think up to mid of this month, you know, we had our own live, you know, thanks to Inti Live Group, you know, they conducted, they planned 4 separate sessions, you know. Later I'll explain a bit more what is live, but you know, we had that, you know. So if you missed out, we will have a live again next year and many more events coming up. Okay, so yeah, I mentioned about what Darren talked about, you know, values. You know, a value of an individual is vital. You know, the values on campus eventually becomes the value in society. You know, one of the focus of being in youth ministry, in campus ministry, you know, is that we want to ensure that we cultivate, you know, good values in their life. You know, we want to plant good values. You know, we heard what bad values can do to the entire world, not just a nation, not just a society. One man with one bad ideology, with many bad values, resulted in devastation to the whole world, you know, 70, 80 million deaths. and another man with good values, and in fact, I think he's a Christian, godly values in Winston Churchill, you know, lead an entire nation to victory. So my question, you know, when you talk about youth, I also have four pictures here. You know, not just youth, but trying to understand or trying to identify where we are in this picture. You know, on the far left here, we have the generation of the baby boomers. Then we have Generation X, Generation Y, and on the far left, Generation Z. Generation Z actually have a subset, the millennials, you know, a lot, this term that we heard a lot. You know, so are you able to identify which circle you belong in? All right. So for baby boomers, you're the ones that actually went through or experienced World War II. You experienced Industrial Revolution. You experienced a computer which is used to be filled in the entire room, shrunk down from a 512 RAM to now 1 gig, 2 gig, 3 gig, to everything now portable laptop. You experienced that, including the Generation X. And then Generation Y, for me, I identify myself in this generation. This is a time where you see much more movement, much fast pace, much innovation that happens. And then we don't need to say about the Generation Z and the millennials. You know, things are moving so fast. You know, but as things move faster, the same for our values, the same for our mind. You know, we need to keep up, we need to catch up. And you know, just last year, this article, this warning was sent out in a Christian article. You know, it warns, get ready, youth group leaders. You know, youth group leader doesn't mean just me, Darren, Dixon. You know, all of us, we have a role to play in the next generation, in the children, in your grandchildren, you know. And this was a warning. Teens are twice as likely to identify themselves as atheists or LGBT. You know, take a moment to ponder. You know, just look around, you know. All the Generation Z, the millennials, or even your own friends, do you think that they are able to identify themselves within this group? Or are they able to state the difference that, you know, we are not part of it, we believe in one God, we believe in two gender, and don't switch easily? But we will look why. You know, this study was done by a big, huge group, a Barna group based in the US, and it's actually one of the biggest statistic group in terms of Christian culture and Christian faith, and finding that information through all the different statistics. And this is one of the questions that they pose. You know, is it acceptable for someone to be born one gender and feel like another? All right. The answer we see here is just within Generation Z, means 1995 all the way to millennials. And then they split it into two groups, the Christians and then everybody else who are born after 1995. Christians, if we look at the two blue one here, all right, the definite and probably, all right, 28 plus 16, that gives you 44%. Plus another gray color, which is not sure, 17. Means that gives you 61%. 61% of Christians are acceptable to not sure whether when they are born one gender, can they feel like another. These are Christians. We are not talking about non-Christians yet. All the Generation Z. All right, now you take 41% plus 28, 69, plus another 10, 79%. Means almost 80%. Means if you look at all the millennials, all the Generation Z, out of 10, 8 youths are likely to say yes, or acceptable, or definitely okay. You know, that is the scenario. That is what we are living in now. You know, it's not the past anymore. It's not the 2000s. It's a 2017 study. You know, that is the scenario. Or, you know, another question, you know, this one, now we move out from LGBT. Well, what about atheists, you know? Are non-Christian barriers to faith? You know, the words are a bit small. But here, the first one, I have a hard time believing that a good God would allow so much evil or suffering in the world. It's a very common question. It's a very general question. Why does bad things happen to good people? As simple as that. Yeah. That is the numbers. You know, why? You know, Generation Z, 29% plus millennials, means almost 60% of them, they don't believe. That is a barrier, because there are so many bad things happening in this world. You know, what about the second one? You know, this one might pierce straight to our heart. You know, all of us are attending church. Are we Christians hypocrites? You know, do we say something? Do we be good? Are we angels just on Sunday? And then Monday to Saturday, we are, the horns come out, you know. That's an example. The evil of us suddenly, wah, come out. Monday, wah, bang, you know, something that a Hokkien says. Suddenly, wah, freedom. No need to act anymore as a Christian, you know. So are we hypocrites? You know, that is scary. You know, that is the numbers. There are facts telling us. And then the last one, you know, the gap here, you know, is a field, you can fill up with all these different topics, you know. My what, you know, is very important to my sense of self. Means what gives you a sense of worth? What makes you worth living every single day? All right, the first one is professional. You know, as a professional, I'm an engineer. Dixon's an accountant. You know, Darren is a pastor to be. All right, so it's professional / education achievement. All right, so for the Generation Z and the millennials, it is extremely, because if you add up the numbers, it's 43 plus 35, 78%. 78% of them says that that is the thing that gives them worth. Their achievement in life, the result that they get in school, the titles that they have matters. You know, what about hobbies? You know, hobbies are also very high if you look at the blue and the orange dots. You know, it's much higher than the other baby boomers, Generation X. You know, hobbies are important to them. You know, they want to fill up time to the things that matters to them. You know, it might not be church, it might be something else. And then all the way to the middle here, what about religion? You know, now you see an opposite. Baby boomers, you know, means anybody above 55 years old. Religion is important to them. Religion is something that tells them that they are worth living for, that gives them a confidence in life, give them a way of life. Religion tells them that, you know, this is how you should live. It is important that you follow a set of rules, a set of laws, how to be pure, how to be, you know, righteous. You know, so that is a statistic. So, you know, when we think about all this, do you think it's very scary, you know, the world that we live in now, the what kind of values, you know, when you think about it, you know, when Darren say, you know, what kind of values are we having when we talk about the next generation? You know, so we look at this. You know, one of the most important things that I want to point out today, the question that I want us to have in mind, is that what kind of values are we cultivating, you know, for the next generation? You know, it doesn't mean that if you don't have son, mean you don't have to, you know, worry, you don't have a son or daughter, but, you know, what about your friends? What kind of values are you portraying every day to your friends? What kind of godly values, you know, for Christians out there that we are showing, you know, that we are different, we are not like everybody else, and we have a stand, you know? So that is what we want to tackle today, you know, with a very short last 15 minutes. I have just a very two simple point, but from a very familiar story that most of us may know, okay? So I take it from Daniel chapter 3, verses 10 onwards. It is the story on the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, three of them in the fiery furnace. Now I'll read for you verse 10. Your Majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, and harp, pipe, and all kind of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. You know? So the Babylonians has built an image of gold. And the decree, the law that was passed out that everybody who hears the music, you know, they need to bow down. They need to worship this image. Okay, so continuing in verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your God nor worship the image of gold you have set up. So verse 13. Furious with rage, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and asking them, is it true that you do not serve my gods, worship the image of gold that I have set up? And verse 15, but if you do not worship it, you know, how you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. You know, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And also prior to this, chapter 1 and 2, the king actually favored them, you know. This tree, he favored them that he already set, you know, we see in verse 12 to 13, you know, that they had roles within the Babylonian kingdom. But because of this decree, now the king is in a dilemma, you know. At one hand, he loves them, he treasured them. On the other hand, they broke the rule. They need to, the king need to make an example. He need to be just in that sense that whatever he says, whatever law that he set, no exception. So this was a scenario. But what I want to draw our attention to is the following three verses. In verse 16, it says, you know, they replied, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. And verse 18, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. You know, when we look at this short, simple story, you know, one thing that we can learn, one thing that we can know, or one simple truth, is that all of us eventually one day, maybe now, will face tests and trials in our life, you know. All of us go through different seasons. You know, our faith will be tested. Our stance will be tested. What we believe in will be tested. You know, there's a saying that says this, your true colors show when you're tested. Now, you get this idea, the term here? You know, when in a difficult situation, how will you react? You know, when given a choice, do you do the right thing? You know, in another word, I like to put it, is that, you know, your true value shows when you are tested. You know, when no one is looking, is Mr. and Mrs. Integrity there? You know, or when you're facing a teacher or you're facing something that you need to be truthful, is truthfulness there? Is the value of compassionate there? You know, some of the godly values that we can have is that, you know, like love, joy, peace, honesty, integrity, just, you know, showing mercy to others, humility, and in fact, even forgiveness. You know, just now I mentioned that just the past few weeks, we had our life. You know, L-I-F-E, each of it stands for four different values. Leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence. You know, our idea was wanting to impart some basic fundamental values to our youths. Is that, you know, in life, these are four very simple. It's not everything we need in life, but at least these four gives you a clear direction, a good start. You know, the leadership value. Integrity, you know, one of the very, very important, Christian or not Christian, integrity speaks of who you are. You know, faith. When you are being tested, where is your faith? You know, do you have faith? And excellence, the spirit of excellence, is it in you? Everything that you do, do you give your best? You know, for Daniel and their three friends, you know, their faith was tested. They had their trials. You know, but verse 17 reminded us that, you know, if they are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that they serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. You know, all the way back in chapter 1, they had already made up their mind. Their conviction was not to defile themselves. Their conviction was to stand firm. No matter what the test is, no matter what the trial is, they stand firm in what they believe in. They stand firm in their conviction. And they hold on to their values. You know, as we continue reading, you know, verse 21, it says, so these men, the three of them, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. You know, they had their faith. They believed that, you know, no matter what the outcome, they will endure it. And so they were being punished. They were being thrown into the fire. And verse 23, these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazed and asked, you know, weren't there just three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, yeah, your majesty. And verse 25, he said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. And verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached, you know, the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servant of the Most High God, come out, come here. So the three of them came out of the fire, you know. And verse 27, you know, they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor their hair, nor their head, you know, and nor their robe. You know, nothing was harmed. When we hold on to our faith, you know, this is another two words that I want to introduce, you know, trust and truth. You know, when we hold on to our values in God, when we hold on to our belief, when we trust in Him, and we trust in His truth, you know, nothing can harm us. The three of them did not doubt God once. They knew that whatever the outcome, you know, they were true to their belief. You know, the three of them were true to their faith, and they were true to their values, you know, even until death itself. But what about us? You know, now we look at our own heart. When we go through trials, when we go through tests, or maybe even simple situation at night, traffic light, you know, nobody looking, you're rushing home. Where does your value stand? You know, as simple as that. Or when things go south, when things goes bad, when challenges in life is so big that, you know, you think that you could not endure it. Do we start playing the blame game? Do we start blaming others for causing us to be in this situation? Or do we start always straight pointing up, you know, God, why do you put me in this situation? Why am I suffering? You know, I'm a good man. I do nothing wrong, but why am I suffering? You know, is our attitude like this? You know, do we start questioning about our faith and start blaming God? And do we waver in our values? You know, these are some basic principles that we need to look into our life. You know, just last week, we wrapped up our Psalms 23. You know, that verse 4, you know, is what I want to highlight. You know, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, can our confidence, our faith in God be as firm as David? You know, that even through the difficult situation that he is going through, even his own son, you know, is trying to kill him. No nation, no home, you know, in the face of death, just like the three friends. His faith is in the Lord. His value did not waver. And in Isaiah 43, verse 2 to 3, you know, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You know, as I prepare to end, you know, one thing that we want to bring out the truth to you all is that, you know, when we hold on to our trust in Him, His truth, His value, you know, in the midst of test and trial, these four will always be with you, you know. He will always stand with you. He will hold your hands. He will encourage you. And He will go through, you know, the ultimate suffering for each one of you and for me, you know. So, you know, when we go through tests and trials, you know, check your heart, check your attitude, you know. Does our value waver? Or our value is firm that we trust in His truth, we trust in Him, you know. So, you know, in the end of the story, verse 28, then King Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servant. You know, they trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their life rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. You know, this was their faith, this was their testimony, that even in the face of death, they did not waver. And verse 29, this was the reward, you know, when we pass through tests. You know, therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubbles, for no other God can save in this way. And ending in verse 30, then the king promoted the three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, in the province of Babylon. So anyway, as I end, it all boils down to the values, you know, that each of us have. You know, the values that we were brought up, the values that is in us. You know, for values, is the everyday you. Values do not change. You know, values define your character. Values define your behavior. Value defines who you are. You know, so if your value do not waver, you are a man that stands firm, no matter the circumstances, no matter the test, no matter the situation, you know, because your value is firm. You know? So when we talk about the campus, you know, it's not just the university campus, but it is everywhere, you know. The value in you is a value in the society, you know, because you are the society. The value at home, you know, they say that value starts at home. You know, value, the parents teach the kids, you know, value starts at home. And in the office, you know, values eventually become the values in the society. So my challenge for each of you is, you know, what value are we cultivating for the next generation? What value are we displaying for our friends? What values are we showing our children? You know, what values are we showing to others? Yeah. So, thank you.